Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. This is Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with a Boston Attitude. Information provided here is inspired by Spirit and brought to you by yours truly, Nicole Blue Sky. I am your Spirit Messenger for the next hour. You'll have to forgive me for not having an intro here. I'm still having technical problems. Still trying to figure out how everything works. And hopefully we'll have everything back in the professional sort of realm soon. But up until then, you know, I'm just going to wing it. So hopefully you guys will all be patient with me. Thank you for being here today. It's Sunday morning. It's the first, really the first show I've had in at least a month. I really haven't had any time to pick a time and figure out what a topic might be and all that. So here I am. Uncle Mo. Sorry, Simpsons reference. Okay, so what I'm basically going to do today is I am going to do some work with helping you figure out how to use your intuition. So welcome back to all my longtime listeners who already know who I am, and a warm welcome to all my new listeners. The show is actually going to be available for download. I just want to talk about that now before I get too deep and then I forget to mention at the end of the show. There is an archive, so if you're interested in listening to any of the past shows, which a lot of them are really good, really helpful. I've gotten a lot of good feedback on them. You're able to download those to your computer, to your iPod, whatever your listening device is. You can listen whenever you need to, you know, at the gym, when you're going for a walk, get some inspiration, and make sure you do that. So today's show is about intuition, honing in on your own inner voice. And, you know, the whole idea of this show was to help people integrate the spirituality into their everyday life in a practical way. Just myself being out there, reading all these different kinds of books that are out there, listening to the speakers and going to workshops, I found a lot of it to be, I don't even know how I would put it, not necessarily completely out of reach, but I just felt like the information was put out there, but actually how to use the information was definitely not clear. So I kind of made it my mission to make sure that I can be somewhat of a translator for people and say, you know, when this is said in a New Age context, this is kind of what they're talking about, and this is how you can actually incorporate it into your life. You know, spirituality isn't something you can just put on the shelf and take it off when you feel like you want to use it. It's something that you need to integrate in your life every day. Because just like anything else, the more you do it, the better you get at it. So, at a certain point in my life, you know, when I was at an absolute low, and at least up until that point in time, that was when I came to the realization that I had this ability to actually talk to people on the other side, to communicate with angels, to communicate with, you know, people that I assumed were imaginary. And I had convinced myself that it just wasn't happening. But a funny thing happens when you actually acknowledge the other side. It's like they're waiting so patiently to help you. And when they finally get that recognition and you say, oh, hi there, you know, everything gets better. Everything becomes more open. And you start to get more information. Now, once again, once you have that information, if you don't know what to do with it or you're afraid, it's going to put a little bit of gum in the works. So you want to learn how to trust it. So there's two parts to this process. There's the awareness part where you start to understand that, yes, what's happening is real. And then there's the trust part where you have to say to yourself, now that I have this information, what can I do with it? Now that I have this connection, what is my purpose with it? I'm a big proponent of prayer. So I grew up in the Catholic faith, actually. And, you know, that's something that I actually continue to work with, is what the prayers that I used back when I was a little kid, learning about God and all that. None of that stuff is throwaway. So just to throw that out there, no matter what your faith is, no matter what you were brought up in, or if you have a specific religion or set of doctrines that you follow, intuition doesn't violate any of that. It actually enhances it, and it makes it more of a deep personal experience for you. So regardless of your faith, I hope that you'll take this information in and find a way to marry it to the stuff that you've already been doing, because it's not a new process. This is something that we've all been born with. I happened to come across someone who ended up being a really great mentor for me. And I still talk to her to this day. I still check in with her. And there are other people that have come forward and said, you know, hey, you know, let's practice together or let's do this. When you decide that it's something you really want to do and you really want to pursue, just like anything else, that law of attraction kicks in and all of a sudden people just start to pop up and they'll be able to help you. And you'll be able to help them as well. So I tell people, you know, I'm not your everyday medium who like runs up to you and tells you, hey, your deceased uncle has a message for you. Can I bring through messages? Yes, but that's not really my job in a sense, just purely to do mediumship. I'm here to be an example. You know, I'm here to show people that you can sit around and have this gift and do nothing with it, or you can choose to do something with it. And when you choose to do something with it, miracles can start happening in your life. It's amazing. So the way that it was put to me by my spirit people, you know, and I call them my people, the same way that my mentor actually calls them her people, is it's like we're all born with, you know, this gift. But if we don't develop it, it doesn't go away. It just doesn't get used. So, for example, for myself, I'm a right-handed person. I have a perfectly good left hand. It can probably do everything the right hand can do. But for most of my life, I've decided I favored my right hand. So that's how I wanted to, you know, go about my business. So my left hand basically is undeveloped. It's there. It can do lots of things. But unless I actually sit down, put a pen in it, and say, I'm going to teach myself to write with my left hand, it's not going to happen. So you want to exercise your intuitive ability just like a muscle. And I see I've got one guest in the chat room right now. I just want to bring this up, too, while I'm realizing that I haven't said anything about it yet. Chat room on Blog Talk Radio is conditional to you having an account. So if you have an account on there, you know, it's easy to do. You just sign up, email, and password. You don't even need to fill out a full profile. And you can chat in any of the chat rooms whenever you're listening to a show. And it's helpful because sometimes, you know, if you can't call in or if you're in a compromising position and you just can't talk, you can ask questions in the chat room. It doesn't cost you anything. It's completely free. And then when other people are in the chat room, you can interact with them and, you know, do private messages with them, connect with other people that are interested in, you know, the same show you're interested in, so you know you're on the same wavelength. I highly recommend doing it. I've met a lot of really great people through the chat rooms on Blog Talk Radio. So just put that out there. So back to what I was saying. I'm here to help you figure out how to use your stuff, so to speak. So you all have stuff. And we can all do it. So I'm the type of medium that when you go to for a reading, I'm going to give you insight. I'm going to tell you if there's anything that someone on the other side may have to tell you. But you're going to walk away knowing that you're in charge of your future. You're going to walk away knowing that you have the ability to alter anything that you want to in your life. And I will never tell you what your future is because that would assume that you don't have anything. Like you have no responsibility for it. Like it's just something that's going to happen to you. And while there are certain things in life that I believe we prescribe for ourselves before we come here that are going to happen or we'll experience, a lot of it is stuff that you can actually alter or change. We can learn something new and change your mind about something, and everything can change in that second. It's definitely something that a lot of people ask about, you know, like, is it fate that I have this issue, or is it, you know, my inability to see that there's another way? Just the fact that you're asking the question is a huge step in the right direction. Huge. Because the awareness has to be there before you can actually make any changes. So let me just pop back onto my notes here, because I want to cover a few things today. So yes, we can all do it. You have the power to change your future. It is not all set in stone. So how does it work? A little bit different for everyone, although there are some common characteristics that can help you identify along the way. You know, this is spirit communication. This is, you know, my ego spinning its wheels. That's one of the biggest things that I get. How do I know if it's my intuition versus my ego? So let me just say hello in the chat room. Okie dokie. Okay. I'm actually getting a question in there now. And let's see. That's awesome. There's a person in the chat room is talking about she has some blocks removed, and the woman said, your work begins now. Now is, I mean, there's a whole concept about being in the now. I mean, there's a whole book about it out there by, I'm going to forget his name right now. But, you know, The Power of Now. It's a great book, bestseller. That's a powerful thing to have someone say to you. So congratulations on your connection, Fia. That's excellent. And just remember to stay in the present. It's a powerful thing. The intuitive mind versus the conscious or the ego mind. How do I know the difference? Well, honestly, a lot of the answers to this you can get from a Dorian Virtue book, because Dorian Virtue has done a lot of work with helping people decipher that inner voice. Actually, there's quite a few programs out there that will help you. I'm going to mention them because so many different books have helped me. I always like to tell people, you know, what worked for me. It may not work for you, but just take a look and see. John Holland has a great program. It's like a couple of CDs. If you look it up on Amazon, John Holland, he's a medium, he's actually here from the Boston area. And I think it's called Developing Your Psychic Intuition. I'm going to actually look that up on Amazon right now and see if I can post it in the chat room. Might be helpful. Also, John Edward. Two Johns, no waiting. John Edward has a great one, and it's Developing Your Psychic Strengths. Let me look that up right now. Psychic. And even if you've read, like, all the books, there's always one or two little tidbits that you'll find when you go through and you start poking around for, you know, new information. Your brain will just pick it up. Let's see. Oh, of course, I'm not going to be able to find it. Oh, wait, here it is. Developing Your Own Psychic Powers. This is actually a really good program. I'm going to just post this in the chat room real quick. I picked up a couple of really cool things from this. He tells you everything about, you know, how to set sacred space, how to set up protections, and just different ways that you can kind of exercise your psychic muscles. So I'm going to post that one in there. I highly recommend that one. It's a good one. And let me post the John Holland one as well. John Holland. I love John Holland. I've been to see him a couple of times. I used to listen to his show like a junkie. he's got a show on Hay House Radio, hayhouse.com. So actually a lot of really great authors and stuff on there if you want to check that out as well. But he's got some great material, and he's very down to earth. I mean, you don't listen to him and think, you know, I can't do this. He is very good at not getting down to your level in a bad way, but just, you know, getting to that place where you understand that he's just a person and you're just a person, and he just happens to have exercised his psychic muscles, and he's really good at what he does, and that you could do the same thing. So let me just post that one in there as well. They're both audio programs, so if you have a CD player, you don't even have to be bothered with finding time to read. You can just listen to it whenever you have some free time. Okay, so I got those in the chat room. So they're really good programs. The ego mind, you know, the way that Dorian Virtue puts it is the ego mind is always very harsh. It's a critic. It's the part of you that it keeps pushing for bigger, better, faster, and more, and it is never satisfied. You'll never have, you know, a moment where your ego finally says, oh, good, our work is done. I mean, your ego is always pushing for more. Your ego is also usually somewhat negative when it talks. You know, it's like, well, why did you do that? We could have had a better, you know, result if we had done this. You know, it's like a bad team member sometimes, but it's definitely not your enemy. Your ego has a purpose, and your ego is your friend. I mean, it does things to help keep you alive and keep you, you know, surviving in this world. And it actually is a great motivator. Your ego is where your fear comes from. Fear is actually a very useful emotion. The intuitive mind, on the other hand, it's a lot more subtle. It's going to speak to you in whispers, and it's going to speak to you in ways that you may not even recognize. One of the most frequent ways that I receive information is through my thoughts. And I'm not talking about this in like a schizophrenic kind of way. It's like there's just a thought all of a sudden that appears. You know, you may be engaged in something completely thought-free, you know, like watching a TV show or Sometimes when you're driving, you know, your thought processes aren't intensely focusing on the gear you're in necessarily, or, you know, if your foot's on the brake or the gas, it's sort of like the state of almost like a trance. You know, you get somewhere and you don't even know how you got there sometimes. Your mind is free to wander, and the intuitive mind speaks in those moments, because the more you engage your conscious mind, the quieter your intuitive mind is. It's almost like, the way that my spirit people put it to me, actually awesome. I love this example. If you ever have had one of those great stereo systems back in the 80s, I don't know if they still have all these knobs on them now, but there was a knob that would let you turn up the right speaker or turn up the left speaker, or turn them both up, or you could balance them, play with them, however you want to do it. It's like that. It's like the left side of your brain is generally the one that's a little bit more logical. The right side is more visual, more spatial, more intuitive. So what you want to do is just turn the volume down a little bit on one and turn it up on the other. And you can do it. I mean, this is well within your power to do. You can't let these things control you. You have to kind of observe and just focus. And the more that you focus on one or the other, you'll see one or the other will become a little bit louder. People ask me all the time, they're like, well, how do you tune in? You know, what do you just walk around like that all day? And it's like, no, I don't. I'm always connected, but I don't always have it tuned to that point where I'm just constantly not seeing everything around me and just engaging with the spirit world. I will turn my focus to that thing. It's like being in a room, like I'm sitting in a room right now. There's a lot of stuff in here. It's all there whether or not I see it. You know, I can turn to the left and see my little altar that I have with my incense and my candles and my singing bowl. And when I have my focus there, I'm not aware, you know, of all the other stuff that's in the room, because I'm not focusing on it. I know it's there, but I'm not focusing on it. And I can just as easily focus on something else. So it's more of training your mind to focus in one place, and that's how you're going to be able to hear it better. So with that being said, the intuitive mind, when your inner voice speaks to you, it will never tell you what to do. In extreme circumstances, if something is happening and your life is in danger, your spirit guides will speak through your inner voice, and they will tell you, get out of the situation now. It's not like a sense of panic. It's not the same as when your ego mind is you know, reeling and being anxious. You will feel the difference if and when that ever happens to you. It will be very subtle for the most part. It will be kind. It will suggest things to you. The inner voice will suggest things to you. It will never push you. I would call it a nudge. You know, it's more like a nudge. And sometimes you'll know for sure that it's definitely coming from a different place by virtue of the fact that it's a concept you don't even agree with. I love that about spirit. Because when I first started to develop, and I use myself as an example a lot just because I know me, and I know exactly what I'm talking about because I know my test subject here very well. So when I first started to open up and realize that this is really happening, because I literally told my mentor, you know, she said to me, it was sort of like a reading actually that I went to her for, and she said, oh, you can do this. And I was like, what? She's like, oh yeah, you can do it. I do. And I thought, no, I can't. And she said, you've been seeing things since you were a little kid. And I actually, when I heard myself say this, it makes me laugh. I'm like, I can't even believe I said this to her. If I was being smart, I would have just not said anything. I said, oh no, that was all fake. I couldn't believe I even said that. Oh no, that was all fake. Nicole, you just admitted that you saw a bunch of stuff. Good job. Now your foot's in your mouth. Okay, good job. So she says, no, it wasn't. And then it was like something that was happening to me that I was hiding under my covers and avoiding and thinking I was just over anxious or I watched too much television or whatever it was. You know, I convinced my left mind, convinced myself that my intuitive mind was not real. It was fake. It was an experience that was happening to me, not with me or for me. And once I started to acknowledge that, I realized, okay, I need to really start listening. And there were times in my life when I did listen. I can tell you at least of one example. I used to work downtown when I was in college on a break, you know, like spring break, Christmas break, whatever. There was a Walden Books that was right near where I worked. And, you know, I was in there doing my job, doing files, taking notes, whatever I was doing. And I would get this unbelievable, it's like an urge, not an anxious urge, but just go down to the bookstore. Really? You know, and I thought, well, I love the bookstore. It didn't sound like a bad idea. And I would go down there every day. And every day I would feel this magnetic pull towards the New Age section. And I would go over to that section and I would think, oh no, this is for the weird people. This is not for me. I'm not one of these people. And one day it was just so strong. And I was getting ready for a break. It was like a 15-minute break thing. And I said, I actually out loud as I walked over to the bookstore said, listen, I don't know what this is. I don't know what's going on. But whatever you need me to read, just lead me to the shelf. Let me pick up the book. I will buy it and walk out and I will be done with this. Because it was so strong. And I went down there. The New Age section at that time, this was like the early 90s. It wasn't the same as it is now. You know, it wasn't as widely accepted. There weren't a lot of great bestsellers in the New Age section like there are now, more like self-help and stuff like that. So it was a small shelf, and I went over. I didn't even look at the shelf. I let my hand go to a book. I pulled it off the shelf. I looked down, and the title of the book was We Don't Die. And I knew exactly what that was. I knew exactly who it was from. I knew who was talking to me. And it was my grandmother. She needed me to open up to this. She had come to visit me after she passed away. And after I was, you know, after I told a few people and I got some mixed reactions, I quickly became quiet again. But that's probably why I did a lot of convincing of myself that none of this stuff was real. It was just my brain processing things. You know, the same thing that most people will kind of do, because it's not something that you just most people naturally embrace. So I basically started reading that book, and that's where my journey began. But it was almost like a nudge, but I knew it couldn't possibly be me. It couldn't possibly be me, because I would never go in that section. You know, I was going to hell if I chewed gum in church, so I sure as hell wasn't going over to the New Age section to start reading about some weird stuff. You know, the things that we're ingrained with when we're little, the things that we believe as truth, and, you know, they're hammered into our heads over and over again, they make us blind to a lot of things. So your intuition is often the voice of truth, the real truth, and not the, you know, supposed things that you were just taught and you believe based on the fact that you were told that they were right. There's an inner truth process that happens where you actually have to sit with yourself and start to become acquainted with the act of meditation. I highly encourage that. And learn to be your own barometer for truth. Learn to be your own gauge. There is an inner knowing that will never steer you wrong, regardless as to whether or not you have all the factual information about something. You can pick out the right answer. You will know who's telling you the truth. But you have to trust it, and you have to get to that point where you realize if it's this strong and it's repetitive and it doesn't go away, this is a major characteristic of intuitive thinking or intuitive communication, you know that it is definitely something from spirit. It is not something that, you know, you're producing in your own mind, especially if you don't agree with it. As time went on, there were other things I was led to. I'm going to tell this story just because when I was first developing and believing for finally after all these years that, yes, there were other people on the other side that were talking, and it wasn't just in my head, I was guided to read a book. I probably shouldn't say who it is, but I will. It was a Doreen Virtue book. Now, she's got tons and tons of books, and I had read a bunch of them anyway. But this was one particular book that I didn't want to read it because I felt like the subject wasn't within, you know, what I was looking for at the time. But it was like the same kind of nudge. It was like, read this book. You need to read this book. And it's not a command. It's more like, kind of like the way like a loving parent would encourage you that you could ride that bike. It's a positive feeling when you're getting it. It's like, just get up on the, grab the handlebars, sit on the bike and pedal, and you're going to go. It's going to be okay. Okay. So I read the stinking book. I'm like, all right, fine, I'm buying the book. So I get the book, and I start reading it, and, you know, it wasn't horrible. It was a great, you know, actually not a bad read. But what happened was, you know, it was a slow day at work, and this is when I was working as a massage therapist. This is when things really started to ramp up for me because I was in tiny rooms with, you know, new age music playing all day, very, very relaxed, very conducive to spirit communication, very conducive. Spirits love to accumulate their energy in small spaces. It helps them gather their energy easier, and the communication is actually a lot clearer, at least when it comes to my process. I've found that's true. Well, I hadn't actually done any spirit communicating for other people at this point. It was more or less like, oh, my grandmother really is talking to me. It was only for myself. And I'm reading the book, and she's talking about her grandmother, Pearl, and she's just recounting some different things from her life. And I thought, okay, you know, this isn't too bad. And then I got a customer. Now, these were customers. It was actually a couple's massage that I was going to do. And these were customers that came in like so frequently. Everyone knew who they were. We loved them. They were just jovial people. They actually would talk a lot during their massages to each other, to us. And it was just, it was a good, you know, you looked forward to seeing these customers. So for some reason, the couple's room was overbooked that night. You know, we only had two couple's rooms, and they were overbooked, so they needed to individually be in different rooms. And I had the lady from the couple, and I thought, wow, this is so weird because we're all, you know, we're usually all in the same room having a good old time. And she said to me, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure if anyone can hear me, so if anyone in the chat room can hear me right now, please let me know, because I had to call back into the show, because God knows that the electronics do not like me lately. Hang on a second. Let me see. It looks like I'm in there. Yeah, I think I'm in there. Okay, live. Anyway, I think part of the problem is this. I'm processing an audio file that's not processing for some reason, and I think maybe it crashed me a little bit. So, yep, there I am. Good times. Yeah, I'm telling you guys, I've been kooky with the electronics for the past week, and I don't know what's going on. I saw the super moon last night. Anyway, so let's just finish the story. So now I'm in a little room, one-on-one with this person where I never was before. And I don't think it was an accident. So during the course of this the session and everything, we're talking, and even though she said she was going to be tired and she was going to go to sleep, she just kept talking. So it's like, okay, I guess, you know, she's not as tired as she thought. And she started to talk about her grandmother. And her grandmother had passed away when she was only 2 months old. Her grandmother actually was in China at the time. Her family's Chinese, and they were all in the States, but her grandparents were over back in China. And she said, you know, I really wish that I'd had a chance to know my grandmother. She was this really great person, according to, you know, what people tell me, and I feel like I missed out on an opportunity. And completely spontaneously, I started to get this, you know, image in my mind's eye and this feeling about her grandmother. And honestly, when it comes to this stuff, like, it just flows and I just let it go. It's not a separate process that I turn off and on. It's like I either allow it to happen or I don't. And this was just coming in real clear. And I said, you know, I said, I bet you that was the happiest day of her life when you were born. You know, she had this beautiful granddaughter. And she was like, yeah, I guess. And I said, I bet you she carried your picture around everywhere. Don't ask me how. Like I said, I didn't even know how I was doing this. I don't know. I just knew that this woman was carrying this girl, little girl's picture around and showing everybody her new granddaughter. And then I started to see this little area, this little cloud start to form in the room. And my eyes got all big like saucers. And I looked over and I thought, oh no. I don't know what's happening. But I felt like it needed to be talked about. So I just, I didn't tell her exactly that there was a little cloud there, but I asked her, I said, you know, was your grandmother short? And she's like, well, I don't know. She was Chinese, so probably. I was like, oh, okay. And I said, oh, okay. And then I saw from the book, literally from the book that I had been led to read, a page with the words on it, Grandma Pearl. And I said, without even thinking, I said, was she called Pearl? And she said, you know, I'm not sure because her name was Chinese, so I don't really know what it would have translated into in English. And I, once I realized what I was doing, I said, okay, yeah, you know what? I said, I don't know why I said that. You know, I'm sorry. Just forget about all that and, you know, let the session continue or end as the case would be. So I went out, I grabbed her some water, waited for her to come back out of the room, and she had this look on her face, and I thought, oh my God, here we go. Now I've done it. Now my crazy talk has gotten me into trouble because this girl looks upset. So I said, are you okay? And she said, you know, I just thought of something. And I was like, oh, what do you, you know, what's going on? She says, well, when I was younger, people used to call my mom Little Pearl. And I said, oh, so, you know, so maybe your grandmother was Big Pearl. And she's like, well, you know, I'll find out. I'll call my mom. I'll ask her. And the time that between that time and the time that I saw her again was the longest amount of time ever. And I was certain that I was just losing my mind and that this really wasn't real. Because like I said, this was in the very beginning. And knowing that you can talk to one member of your family and actually doing it for somebody else are two entirely different things. And if you can do this for other people, you're supposed to. But let's just say I was still freaking out. So I saw her outside one night when I was getting ready to leave. And I said, hey, how are you? You know, I was kind of scared to talk to her again. And she said, hey, you know, I've talked to my mom. They did. They used to call her Pearl. And I thought, oh, my God, this is real. Something is happening. This is not what I thought it was going to be like. You know, the way that it's portrayed in movies, the way that you see it on television and all that stuff is edited, people. Don't think for one second it's that easy. The way that they make it look is not how it happens. There's a lot of stuff that gets edited out. It's different. It's in your thoughts. It's in your feelings. You are like one ginormous antenna. It is like just a broadcast. You know, your signals are going in and coming out all day long. You're made out of electricity. You're made out of energy. This is a natural process. It's like anything coming into contact with something else. There's a reaction. And for some of us, the antenna just has a little bit higher of a signal, a little bit more of a broadcast going on, and it just works. And I thought, and I called my mentor, and I said, oh, my God, you're not going to believe this. I'm sitting there, and they made me read this book, and I didn't want to read the book, but that's the page that I needed that day in that book. And she's listening to me, you know, run out of breath as I'm telling her all this stuff. And she says, I don't know why you're surprised. I told you that you could do it. And I thought, oh, yeah. Probably barking up the wrong tree here, but you know, it's this process of self-discovery. It's this process of realizing that we're not alone, and that just because someone says to you, "Hey, guess what? We don't die," it's not an instantaneous experience of truth. You know, a lot of us, like I said, have had that left brain dominant, logical is more important, more valuable. It's just that way of thinking is what keeps you from getting to the part where you have your intuitive mind working for you and you're not always trying to squish it. Because we do that. We try to squish it. It's just the way we are. You know, it's society. I don't know that all cultures are like this. I'm sure that, especially with indigenous cultures, it's a lot more widely accepted. But, you know, you got to be careful with this too. Now, if you're a person that's supposed to develop this and supposed to develop this so that you can help other people with it, it's a totally different path than people that just, you know, they develop it and they use it for themselves. And one is not right or wrong or better than the other. And believe me when I tell you, doing it for other people can actually be 90,000 times harder than it is just to do it for yourself, because there's the added responsibility of being the messenger. And they don't always want to hear what you're going to have to tell them. It's not quite, you know, as sparkly, pretty, and cleanly put together as they show on television, like I said. I've had people that outright did not want to hear anything that I had to say, and they had asked me for it. You know, and then that puts me in the situation where my ego mind starts to kick in and says, see, Nicole, you can't do it. You're not doing it right. And that's the negative self-talk that's going to prevent you from progressing with anything in your life, regardless. I mean, anything you try, like you said, you get on a bike, you fall. Your ego mind says, see, I told you you couldn't do it. You know, it's just, it's a part of you that you have to work with. So let's see, when I was still developing, and when you're really into opening up, it's going to almost be like you have no control over the volume for a little while. You know, you're basically going to, have to experiment it. The only way to figure out how to use it is to just start doing it. You know, you can read a book about riding a bike. If you didn't get on the bike and you didn't pedal, you don't know how to ride a bike, period, the end. You have to engage in it, or I don't want to hear any sad stories about why you're not doing your job, why you can't get it. Practice, practice, practice. Find somebody who's open to it. Find somebody who you know won't laugh at you. And just go. Just go and see what happens. Tell yourself, this is a game. Whatever happens, happens. It's all for fun. Take the seriousness out of it. Take the pressure off yourself and just do it. Because once you do, you're going to realize, oh my God, it's not as hard as I thought it was. It's there. now I'm getting a frog in my throat. Yay, go me. Sorry about losing the connection in there, guys. I see you're all still in the chat room. Let's see. Okay. Thank you for all being in there, by the way. I love looking in there and seeing what everyone's doing in the chat room. Oh, let me go back to my notes here. Oh, goodness gracious. I haven't done an hour show in so long. I almost forget how long it seems when you're in the middle of it. But then all of a sudden, it just flies by. Okay, so being in receiving mode. And this is really important, guys. If nothing else that I say this whole show, you know, hits you in any way, I hope that this will. I hope you'll remember this, because this is a very important thing. When approaching the spirit world, you're going to read books and you're going to hear people talk, and they're going to talk about protection. Now, protection, the first, personally, and not just myself, the first thought that you hear when you hear the word protection is danger. You know, it's almost like an association. It's like protection equals I have something to be scared of. And then your anxiety level rises, and it's going to be harder for you to get past this if you don't allow me to tell you how it really is, okay? protection is basically setting an intention and making sure that you just don't willy-nilly run out into the middle of the street with, you know, no shoes and not looking both ways. And, you know, there are certain things that you do just in preparation for anything that you do. When you get out of bed and you go to work in the morning, you shower, you get dressed, you put on your shoes, you get the crap you need for work, and you go to work. Well, it's no different with communication with the spirit world. You have certain things that you need to do. One of them is to approach it with reverence and never to just act like it's something that you're entitled to. And there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, the ego is the one that wants that sense of entitlement anyway. And the ego mind has to be kind of let go of for this process to work. At least I find that in regards to how I work. Second thing is that vibration of entitlement is not one that you want to go into the spirit world with. Now, everything with spirit communication is about your vibration. If your emotional level is such that you're in a dark place, or you're angry, you're out of balance, you know, you're frustrated, this is not how you want to go into spirit communication. You want to always make sure you clean your slate. You want to sit for a minute, mentally erase everything that's going on, just kind of do a clearing, and then set your intention. And your intention should always include something to the effect that you are asking for this to happen. Please allow me to have the clearest communication with spirit possible. I would like to speak only with beings and angels, or however you want to put it, that are for the highest good, that are from the light of God, that are protective beings, healing beings, always do something like that. Because, like I said, it's like walking out the door with no plans, no footwear, no not. It's just something that you do. It's a natural thing. It's not, you don't want to go into it with this mindset and this fear in your heart that there's a lot of evil things that are going to want to get at me today. So I need to just sit here and tell God, I don't want to have any of this evil stuff. That's just the wrong vibration. It's the wrong attitude. It's the wrong tone. Don't go there. If you go there, inevitably something will happen because the energy you're putting out is going to just attract something. You definitely want to be in a state of calmness when you decide you're going to communicate with the spirit world. You want to be respectful of the spirits, and you want to be as pure in your sense of what you're doing as possible. I've found for myself that if I think I'm going to do something with anything else in mind other than helping someone, it's just not a clear connection. You know, if for some reason I have anxiety and I feel like I have pressure on me to tell someone something, like, I want to know this. Can you get from the spirit world the answer for this? It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. The spirit world's in control anyway, by the way. They're not going to get pushed around by us, you know. If you come and sit for a session, you don't get to tell the spirit world how it's going to go. They're going to tell you how it's going. You can ask for who you want to talk to. You can bring items that will help connect. I think most of the time it does happen that you find the person that you want to will be coming through for you. But it's not a guarantee because the spirit world knows a whole lot more than we do. They know, they have a different perspective. It's a higher perspective. And if there is a person that, let's say, you know, we've all got, you know, tons and tons of ancestors in spirit. Everyone that's come before you is your ancestor. There may be an ancestor that, a relative, that has something that they really need to tell you. And it could be, you know, anything. It could be, it's usually something for me in the readings that I give, it's usually something really emotional or family related or something like that. If that person needs to come through and this is their opportunity, the spirit world is going to put that person in line first. There's a divine order to how they come through. It's not like picking a number at a deli. You kind of have to just let them do their thing because they're sort of in control. The medium's not in control. The spirit world is in control. I've had at least one person who, when I was first developing, I had some energy around me, and I thought, okay, let me see who this is. And I told her who it was. I said, you know, this person is saying it's from this side of the family. It's this, you know, relationship. And her response immediately was, well, he wasn't a very nice person. I don't really want to talk to him anyway, so I don't know why he would come through. You know, so I took that personally. I thought, you know, oh, well, I must be wrong because she's telling me this person wasn't nice and wouldn't come through. And I thought then, you know, of course, later I learned to trust the spirit world and to not ignore the emotions of the sitter necessarily, but just help educate them about the process a little bit more, a little better. Because this happened to be on the way to a reading with my mentor. And when she sat down with my mentor, lo and behold, the person that came through was the same person that was coming through on the way. And that had a lot of purpose in it. I mean, some of it was for me because I needed to see and trust what I was getting and not allow my emotions and my ego and my, you know, sense of, am I doing this right, to take over, because that is a lower vibration. I needed to see that, yes, it was okay to trust this, that it's not being unloving to tell the person that just because they sat with you and wanted to talk to someone that somebody else is coming through. And there's just a lot of perceptions about this that have to be addressed before you can really have a good reading with someone, at least in my experience. So that was one of the things that I wanted to just touch on, because there's going to be testing involved. Spirit world is going to test you. If you have a specific area that you want to get advice in, for example, let's say, you know, you're wondering about a certain relationship. God knows that 90% of the people that want a reading want to know something about a relationship, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a wife, whatever, a husband. You can ask the question, and you might actually get the answer, but you might not get it right away. You might get it through signs. You might get it through symbols. You might get it through another person. There are some very odd ways that the spirit world works to get you a message. It's very interesting. I've had it happen myself multiple times. You know, I had questions about my job. I had a lot of upheaval in my life, and I didn't know what was going on. And, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to ask my grandmother and my guides, see if they'll help me figure out what my path is. And I wrote a blog about it, actually. I have to go back and look for it and post it. But, you know, I had this whole thing happen over like 2 or 3 days that I thought, that's not real. No, no way, that's not happening. But the repetitiveness is what got me to trust it. And in the beginning, when you're first doing this and you're first learning how it all works and experimenting with it, that's what will happen. If it is true guidance, it won't let go. It will continue. And that's one of the things that Doreen Virtue talks about in her books is if it'll be relentless. You know, it's interesting. But, you know, they'll find ways to have you spontaneously run into situations that you just think, no, there's no way that's possible. Like, for example, you could be, okay, let's say you asked about a job or something like that, and nothing's going on. You're like, okay, thanks. Well, I guess I'll just hear back from you when I feel like it or when you feel like it. And you go about your business and you go to the grocery store. And for some reason, you know, there's a real talkative couple behind you, and one is telling the other that, you know, I talked to my friend Scott today and he told me that he finally was able to get that last interview and now they're going to hire him and it's going to be good. Things are going to pick up for him. And here you are. You just asked a question about a job. And you might think to yourself, well, that's just a coincidence. Yeah, but maybe not. Maybe not. Then maybe, you know, on your way home, while you're pondering whether or not this is a coincidence, you know, you sit in your car, you put your groceries in the car, you just start driving. You hear a song on the radio, something, it could be anything, but the message is, you know, everything's going to be all right. And you think, well, that's kind of odd because, you know, I feel like that might be the answer, but that can't be it. No, I must be imagining this. I'm wanting it too much, and therefore I'm making this into something it's not. Guaranteed, there will be more. If it is real guidance, there will be more, and it will catch you like almost like looking at a painting and for whatever reason, one tiny part of that painting just stands out, you know, or, you know, looking in the forest and seeing one tree that has some orange leaves on it and the rest of them are all green. There'll be some sort of mode of perception that your intuitive mind will just kick into and you will notice the right thing at the right time. It'll be brought to your attention is the best way that I can put it. It'll be brought to your attention. I have had instances where I thought, you know, for sure I must be going out of my mind because I thought a specific being was trying to give me a message. You know, we're talking, you know, not like a person, like a being, like an archangel or something like that. And I was like, yeah, the archangel's got more pressing matters than talking to me. I'm all set. There's no way. I'm not important enough for that. And I will just be in a random place. And I'll see, oh, there's a picture of Archangel Michael. Really? Did I make that happen? No, it's not real. And it'll just continue. It will continue until you realize it's okay to trust it. So there is hope. But the whole thing is, it's a process. Like, I can't just give you a magical formula and say, if you meditate for 10 minutes every single day, you're suddenly going to have this stream of information that will come to you continually, and you'll always know exactly who it's coming from. You'll always know exactly why you're getting it. See, the other part of spirit communication is sometimes you don't really know why you're getting the information. Sometimes you won't know who it's coming from. The times when you don't know who it's coming from, I mean, I would say as long as it's a positive message, it's generally coming from your guides. And you don't have to know who they are in order to hear their communication. If you want to go and experience that kind of a relationship with a guide being, you can. But if you prefer to just keep it on terms on the terms of this is my inner voice talking to me, it will not stop. Their identities are not as important to them as they are to us. Many times people, you know, call their guide one thing and it's something else. I mean, look at Sylvia Brown. She's a pretty famous medium, and I think she's a pretty good one. But she calls her guide Francine, and it's not her guide's name. And she tells you that. She, you know, the guide came to me, told me her name was, and I can't remember what it is right now. But I decided I wanted to call her Francine. Her guide didn't abandon her. Her guide didn't scold her. It is what it is. They don't care. We care. Because here, identity is super important. Appearance is super important. But when you have these meditations and you're reaching out to your guide people, just make sure that you take note of anything that appears unusual to you. So, for example, if you're a visual person, if you see things in your mind's eye, you might have an experience where every time you see your guide person, they appear to be surrounded by a certain color. Or they may always have, if it's a male, you'll notice the male guide always seems to have a beard. That's got to be a representation of, you know, wisdom or age or something that makes you feel more comfortable receiving the information from that guide, because they'll wear whatever clothes it takes to get you to listen. I have, when I see a being that I know is a guide, they're usually dressed in a specific kind of clothing, not because that's what's cool and hip on the other side, but because that's how they tell me, this is my uniform, so you know who I am and what I come from. It's really specific to the person. So, for example, I would never tell you, well, you know, I see this person wearing, you know, a big blue gown. Because that would color what you think your guide looks like before you know who they are. And if you're going to have that experience, it should be uniquely your own. I can tell you, I see them dressed in a specific garb, which to me signifies they are a guide. So this is a guide person. But I probably won't tell you, you know, anything else about them. Unless they are urging me to do it. And usually when they urge me and they say, you know, tell her that I have a little flame over my head, she'll recognize that. Okay, fine. You know, this guide person appears to have a little flame over their head, sort of like in the Bible when you see the apostles. And usually I'll get eyes widening and, oh my God, I've seen that. Okay, that's a different story. That is, I'm going to prove to you that I'm real because I'm going to use this person here that is a good opportunity for me to get something across to you. So in terms of guides, just pay attention. And, you know, angelic beings are real. They do have a different kind of presence. I can personally say with confidence that when I see or feel or however I'm perceiving a guide as opposed to an angel, there's a different feeling. I do a lot of my work through emotion, through feeling, through thought. It's not always, I saw this thing or you know, I heard this thing audibly. Oh, that's funny. Fia saying, oh my God, mine does. See, sometimes that stuff is not an accident when I say things. So just take that into consideration. I get used a lot. The spirit world likes to use me to do things. I get a lot of people that say, you know, it's funny you should mention that. And no, it isn't funny because I don't even need to be aware that I'm doing it. I'm wired. I am hardwired to suddenly just start injecting things into a conversation that I never would have talked about. And I hear myself saying it. My conscious mind's like, I don't talk like that. And my intuitive mind's like, yeah, it's okay. For today, you do. And I know it's just being in the flow. It's being in tune. Our logical minds are what we use all the time, day to day, you know, to get through our stuff. For me, it's more subtle. It's not like moving from one room to another. It's more like I said, focusing on one part of a room by turning my head and my attention in that direction, as opposed to, Sophia's saying, in many pics I call him pointy head guy. A small, like, flame-looking energy, whitish blue, and he loves pictures. Yeah, I recently saw that for someone. It was kind of a spontaneous thing. Man, I'm telling you, massage rooms are like... really, really good if you want to get spirit communicate, at least if you're with me. And I don't have I'm not doing massage right now, but this is what it was. I actually went and got a massage recently, and the guy that was working on me, I mean, when I walked in that room, it was massively full of energy, really, really good, angelic, high vibration, healing energy. And I thought, oh, wow, I finally found a therapist that has the other side working with him to make sure he does his healing work. So I know this is going to be good. And we talked a little bit, got a little friendly, and I asked him, I said, you know, I hope I'm not being too forward. I said, but, you know, what kind of religion were you brought up in? And he said, oh, you know, I grew up Catholic. I said, okay, so you believe in angels then, right? And he says, yeah. And he had been asking me something about being psychic, actually, which is funny because I mentioned nothing. Always comes up, I'm telling you, just being in my presence. He said something about that, and I said, you know, you believe in angels then? And he said, yeah, I do. I said, well, I just want you to know that you have a lot of them. There are a lot of them. Okay, guys, I'm sorry about that. Lord have mercy. Did it again. So I'm going to wrap up the show now because I can't afford any more of these little disconnects. Otherwise, the show's going to end. But, yeah, just to finish the story, I mean, I told him, you know, got a lot of them. And he said, you know, a lot of people tell me that they feel energy coming from my hands. And I said, it's because you're being worked with. You know, you're being supported with your work, with your job. And is that kind of a reading? Yeah, I guess. So apparently I walk around giving readings a lot. Just not the kind that you see on TV where it's like really ultra, you know, abrupt and people didn't really ask and they don't know who you are. I mean, that's rude. It's rude to walk up to anyone on the street and tell them something like that. Forget about if it's from the other side. I don't know. There's just a whole lot of bad things going on there. I don't agree with any of that. But anyhow, yeah, Sophia, if you would like to post something on my page on Facebook, definitely do that. It's Confessions of a Spirit Messenger. It can be, you know, just type it in, you'll find it. It's super easy. And I will look forward to seeing that, maybe shooting you an email back and having a conversation. And I know you've been typing some things in the chat room here. Very cool, very interesting things. Always so much fun. Just so much fun. I love it. The spirit world is just, it's boundless, it's endless, it's infinite. There's just so much good. So, in closing, you know, my famous line, walk with one foot in each world, walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. And hopefully I will have another show lined up soon. This one was kind of off the cuff. I just wanted to get back on that horse and get back in the saddle again. Not a lot of preparation. Just wanted to just talk openly about certain things and get reacquainted with my audience because I know I've not been here enough. So I will be careful to be more consistent in the future. So thanks, everyone, for being here, and namaste. I will talk to you all soon.